There's a lot of people who try and reduce Christianity simply to a moral system, a system that teaches us how to live a virtuous life, or just a body of truths that we accept in our intellect. And that certainly is a part of Christianity. But Christianity is a lot more than that. You know, Jesus Christ is more than simply a teacher or a moral leader. And we see that in today's gospel as we celebrate the feast day of the Transfiguration. Christianity is about a transformation to glory. In today's gospel, we see Christ revealed in glory on Mount Tabor. And at one moment, he's there and he looks like an ordinary human being. And at the next moment, he's revealed in glory and majesty, and there's supernatural power visibly radiating from him. And it's a power that's so strong that it can conquer even death itself and bring people back from the dead. Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses to this, and as they were witnessing Christ revealed in glory, they were just overwhelmed with fear and amazement at this person that they had been with all of a sudden is revealed in majesty. And as Christians, Christ desires to transform us to glory as well. And he does that through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in order to make us like God. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 460, it talks about one of the reasons why Jesus Christ became man and entered into history. And it says that God became man in order that men might become like gods, and that we could become sharers in the divinity of God himself. And how does that happen? It happens through our adoption as children of God, sons and daughters of God. We're adopted through the grace of the sacraments into the very life of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're united to Jesus Christ, the Son, and brought into this relationship. The Trinity is a relationship of infinite love and majesty between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's an eternal relationship. And as Christians, we have the privilege of being called to share in that infinite relationship, in that eternal relationship. And that's ultimately our destiny. And what each one of us was created for is to one day enter into this life of the Trinity and to be brought into a community of love that is so much greater, more powerful than anything we've ever experienced in this world. And that's what we were created for. And it's primarily through the sacraments that Jesus Christ pours out his grace upon us and his life into us so that we can be transformed, one day share in the glory that we see revealed on Mount Tabor. And each one of the sacraments, and in particular the Mass itself, which we'll focus on a little bit today, the sacraments are not just prayer services. It's not just a group of people that get together and we read readings and we listen to the homily and we say some prayers together and we sing together. That's certainly part of what the Mass is and the sacraments, but there's a lot more to the sacraments than that. Every sacrament has an invisible reality that's a part of it. And with the Mass, it's the fact that Jesus Christ is giving us the bread from heaven. And he's transforming the bread and wine into his body and blood so that we can consume the flesh of Jesus Christ, who we hear about in today's gospel revealed in glory. And we can take our Lord into us so that we can be transformed and that glory can become part of us as well, so that we can have supernatural life and light radiating through us. If we were on Mount Tabor 2,000 years ago to witness this event, at one moment we would have seen a person who looked like an ordinary human being who at the next moment is revealed in glory. If we could see the reality of what's happening at Mass, what we would see is before the words of consecration, ordinary bread and a few drops of wine. And in the next instant, as the priest says the words of consecration, we would see that host transformed and revealed as the glory and majesty of God himself. If we could see the reality of what was truly happening. When we come forward to receive the Eucharist, it's important that, first of all, we have faith in the reality of the Eucharist, that it's truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. when the distributor says the body of Christ or the blood of Christ, and we say amen, what we're affirming is that we believe that this is no longer bread and wine, but this has been transformed into the glory of God. And so as we receive the Eucharist on our tongues, the first thing that's important is to do so with faith. Second, it's important that we receive in a state of grace. And if we've committed a serious sin, that we go to the sacrament of confession and be reconciled to God so that we can worthily receive such an incredible gift that our Lord gives to us. And if a gift is that precious, we should respect the gift and only receive it in a state of grace. And the third thing is that we should recognize as we come forward that we're taking the glory and majesty of God into ourselves as we receive the Eucharist. The same Lord that we see revealed in glory on Mount Tabor, we take into ourselves. Now, traditionally, Christians would come forward to receive the Eucharist on their knees because it was an outward physical expression that they recognized that they were coming before the majesty of God. And when we do so, we should do so with complete and total humility and recognizing the majesty of God. They would go down on their knees before our Lord. And I think for most of us, if we were to take a step back and look at ourselves and be honest, we would say that our faith in the sacraments is not strong enough. And I would say that most of us, when we come forward to receive the Eucharist, and especially if we receive the Eucharist frequently, we're not necessarily calling all this to mind. And our faith in the sacraments probably is not as strong as it should be. I think very often we forget the reality of what the Eucharist is or any of the sacraments. Or there's a danger that we start receiving the sacrament simply out of habit and we start going through the motions and it becomes something that we just do on Sundays rather than recognizing the importance of what it truly is. And so in order to receive the Eucharist fruitfully and to do so frequently, it's important that we support the reception of the sacraments with a strong life of prayer. That we are frequently meditating upon the Eucharist and coming to Eucharistic adoration if we're able to come to church and spend some time in the presence of the Eucharist, and that we're reflecting frequently on the reality that the Eucharist is more than bread and wine, that it truly is the majesty of God. In our prayer life, if we're reflecting on that frequently, then we'll be able to receive the Eucharist with greater devotion. And so as we come forward to receive the Eucharist, I think it's important for us to do so first with faith, recognizing who it is that we're receiving and that we truly believe what we say we believe when we say amen. To do so in a state of grace and to do so recognizing that we're receiving the glory of God just as he was revealed 2,000 years ago on Mount Tabor, and that by receiving the Lord into ourselves, our Lord is desiring to transform us to share in that same glory so that we can be children of God and enter into our eternal inheritance, where we will share in the life and the love of the Trinity for all eternity.